From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Robert Siegel. There are 26 police departments around the country under some kind of scrutiny from the Justice Department. In this part of the program, we're going to hear in depth about one of them, the Albuquerque PD. The main issue in Albuquerque is not race or racial profiling. It's the use of force. Police have shot scores of people over the last 5 years, many of them fatally. In a few minutes, we'll hear from NPR's Kelly McEvers about the tension in the community over that. But first, Rita Daniels of member station KUNM begins our coverage with a story that highlights the issue that the city is struggling with.
The Albuquerque Police Department gained national attention earlier this year when James Boyd, a homeless man, was camping illegally on the outskirts of town. Someone complained, called 911, and before long, there were 41 officers on the scene. After a three-hour standoff, footage from a cop's helmet cam shows Boyd finally agreeing to go with them. But then... officers fire a flash grenade while a police dog rushes the scene. Cops yell at Boyd to get on the ground. He pulls out two small knives from his pockets, and they shoot him 6 times. Boyd dies. Then the chief of police, Gordon Eden, told reporters that officers did the right thing.
Do I believe it was a justified shooting? Yes. If you follow case law, Garner versus Tennessee, there was a directed threat to an officer.
Garner versus Tennessee was a Supreme Court case back in the 80s that ruled an officer could use deadly force if the suspect was thought to pose a serious threat. Eden later said he regretted those comments, but Boyd's death led to protests in the streets.
We are all James Boyd! We are all James Boyd!
Marchers flooded onto the freeway, shutting it down, and things got tense. The police department brought in SWAT teams dressed in riot gear and used tear gas. Protesters were demanding that the police chief resign, that the mayor be fired, and that what they called killer cops be charged with murder. The U.S. Justice Department had already been investigating the Albuquerque Police Department for 2 years. Shortly after Boyd was killed, it released a report saying it found a pattern of excessive and fatal use of force. Now, the feds are negotiating with the city about what reform will look like. The police department says it's already revamping training.
We will do the best we can with verbal instruction, but if you have to go hands-on, that might be.
Joe Wolf runs the city's training academy and says now all cops are required to take a course about how to deal with suspects with mental illness. It's an approach that favors talking over drawing your weapon.
I'm not going to kid you. There's been a lot of resistance here. It took me a long time to win over the training crew because it's a philosophical change from what they're used to.
Wolf says he wants his officers to be calm and confident, not cocky and overbearing. Molly Moran is with the U.S. Justice Department and says officer safety comes first. But force isn't always the best practice.
There are any degree of ways of using force, and lethal force or even slightly less than lethal force might not always be the best approach.
A final consent decree that will spell out exactly what reform is going to look like is expected in the coming weeks. For NPR News, I'm Rita Daniels in Albuquerque.
And I'm NPR's Kelly McEvers. To understand the tension between the cops in Albuquerque and some people in Albuquerque, let's go back to a Tuesday in April. It was after the Justice Department had accused the Albuquerque police of engaging in a pattern of excessive force. A music teacher named Caro Acuña Olvera was eating dinner and got a call from a friend.
And I picked up the phone. I was like, hey, what's going on? She's like, Caro, Facebook is blowing up. Do you know what's happening? I'm like, no, what's up? She's like, Mary! They killed Mary. And I was like, who killed Mary? The police killed Mary.
Mary Hawks, 19 years old, a former student of Cotto's, a girl who lived in the street, wrote poetry, sold drugs, and did drugs too. The night Mary Hawks was killed, police say an officer spotted a girl driving a stolen truck. They later found the truck with a phone Mary Hawks used. They looked at her Facebook profile, matched her picture with a police database, then found her near an old address. She ran. An officer chased her. Police say she waved a gun. The officer shot her 3 times in the head, upper arm, and shoulder. On this video released by police, officers call for rescue units. The shooting outraged some people in Albuquerque. Mary's teacher, Cotto, helped arrange vigils and protests. The Justice Department says police have a pattern of using excessive force, the protesters said, and then cops go and kill a 19-year-old girl. The officer who shot Mary Hawks has not spoken publicly. The case is still under investigation. Many other cops we talked to say the reason some people in the community are so mad about the Mary Hawks shooting and all the other shootings is that they just don't get it. Sean Willoughby is vice president of Albuquerque's police union. He says it's important to remember that before the Justice Department released its findings, local criminal investigators found all previous Albuquerque police shootings to be justified.
There's a lot of shootings that people are really upset about that were what we would call good shoots.
Shoots, he says, will never go away, no matter what the feds say.
If you threaten a police officer, you point a gun at a police officer, they are going and have the right to protect themselves and are trained to do so. And nothing the Department of Justice or any entity says is going to change that.
It's a Friday night in Albuquerque, and I'm riding along with Officer Tanner Tissier. About 20 minutes into the shift, he gets the call.
Foot chase, one subject possibly with a gun.
A foot chase, one subject possibly with a gun. Tanner speeds up. We pull into a parking lot.
Do you want me to do? Stay in the car?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Okay. Okay, so we are at a Home Depot. This just happened.
We have 1 year to go to the 2733.
There's a guy with a gun.
Actually, two guys with guns who tried to rob the Walmart. One ran to the Home Depot where Tanner arrests him and takes his gun.
I believe it's a 38 auto. They got a full magazine. One was in the chamber ready to fire.
The other suspect pulled his gun out of his pocket, ran into the parking lot, and tried to hide in a car. That's where another detective pulled out his own gun and chased the suspect.
I drew out, gave him commands. He kept running and put his gun away.
And so the detective says he put his gun away, too. The detective eventually caught the suspect and arrested him. But that's not how it always goes. The detective who wouldn't give me his name because he doesn't want it to come up later in an investigation says it pretty plain before he walks away. If the suspect had not put away his gun, the detective was ready to shoot him. He just said to me, if he hadn't put that gun back, he'd be laying right over there. Like he would be dead, shot and killed by the detective. The truth needs to get out. That's what he just said to me. In other words, people need to understand that in these situations, it's black and white. There is no gray. If someone has a weapon and points it at police, police are going to shoot. And they don't shoot to wound, the cops kept telling us. They shoot to kill. But the Justice Department says it is gray sometimes. In its report, Justice said Albuquerque police sometimes use force when there is not an imminent threat to officers or others, and that they themselves sometimes escalate the situation until there is a reason to use force. Sam Costales was an Albuquerque cop for more than 20 years. He says, of course, there is a gray area. Back in 2001, Costales was chasing an armed robbery suspect who grabbed a piece of pipe from the back of his truck and came at him. Costales took out his gun.
I could have shot him. I mean, I had every right to shoot him, but I didn't want to shoot him.
Instead, he put his gun back in the holster, maced the guy, and arrested him. Back at the station, Costales put the suspect in an interview room and went to get him something to drink. A couple of detectives walked by.
They go, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting the guy a Coke. You're getting the guy a Coke. This guy that just came at you with a pipe. The guy's going to kill you. You're going to buy him a Coke now. I said, he didn't kill me, and he's thirsty. And I left it at that.
Costales says he tried to treat suspects with respect. But other cops, he says, yelled at people, beat people up, used their weapons against people, and then covered it up. Cassandra Morrison was an Albuquerque cop for 20 years, too. She says a lot of this bad behavior is the work of a good old boys network, where it's all about who you're related to.
And who you know, who you hang out with, who you smoke cigars with, or who you go have a beer with.
If you're in the club, she says, you don't get punished when you act like a cowboy, break the rules, use excessive force. She says it's a system that won't change until some of those cowboys get punished. Morrison says she's been told several Albuquerque police officers could be indicted in federal court for previous shootings.
So I think once those indictments come down, it's going to be like, uh-oh.
Even well-liked guy in the good old boys club can get hit.
Yes, exactly. It's kind of like taking down Teflon Don, the head of the mafia. You take down one of them, everybody else kind of sits back and goes, oh, we need to chill out for a while. Well, you need to hit them so hard that they're going to chill out forever.
The Albuquerque police chief recently told USA Today there are some police who shouldn't be on the force. But he says the rest of the police are working hard to regain the community's trust, mainly through new training. The Justice Department has confirmed that at least one Albuquerque police shooting is now being investigated by its criminal division. Kelly McEvers, NPR News.